I want to just briefly, because it relates directly to the lesson that we had this morning. And I was looking if the brother who asked the question is here. Anyway, I'm going to address the question nonetheless. Okay, the question, even before I answer the question, as I often do, that on most, while not all, Sunday night, and usually from Sunday morning, we inform both members and visitors alike that if there are questions arising from the lesson that was discuss in the morning, I will address them depending on other consideration. The question was that was given to me, there are many who argue that the vile sin of Genesis, that is Sodom and Gomorrah, and the passage of Judges chapter 19, bisexuality, that there are many who feel that the sin under consideration in these two passages, the sin is that of inhospitableness. And not homosexuality. Mark you, in both texts, the one in Genesis 19 and the one in Judges 19, dealing with same-sex relationship, in both texts there is action of inhospitableness in both texts, but that is not the sin for which the Almighty God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah and surrounding cities. How do we know this? Genesis 19 verse 5 through 8 makes it plain in reference to the sin for which God placed this severe, drastic judgment on these cities. Let us hear Genesis 19. In fact, brother, you have the
NIV.
NIV. Yes. Let me hear from verse 5 to verse 8 of chapter 19 of the book of Genesis.
They called to Lot, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we can have sex with them." Lot went outside to meet them and shut the door behind him and said, "No, my friends, don't do this wicked thing. Look, I have two daughters who have never slept with a man. Let me bring them out to you, and you can do what you like with them. But don't do anything to these men, for they have come under the protection of my roof."
Okay? If you are listening, it's plain what this sin is. Read again.
They called to Lot, "Where are the men who came to you tonight?
Where are the men who came to you tonight, Lot?
Bring them out to us so that we may have sex with them."
The King James says, "so that we may know them." I have already taken you in 2 weeks ago to the passage of Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, and two other verses in the very same chapter that help us to understand that in this context, to know mean to know intimately, to know sexually. And that term is used quite many places in the Old Testament with that meaning. So when they said, "Bring the men who came to you that we may know them," it means that we may know them sexually. And of course, the NIV makes it plain. Read.
Lot went outside to meet them and shut the door behind him.
Now, Lot's action further shine light on what wrong is under consideration. Lot went out, shut the door behind him, and he's now addressing them. Let us hear it.
"Don't do this wicked thing. Look, I have two daughters who have never slept with a man."
Wait. "Don't do this wicked thing." Hospitality is not under consideration here. You see. What is under consideration is something that these men want to do to Lot visitors. "Don't do this wicked thing." And then Lot have a suggestion, which is, as I've stated, sort of unthinkable. But you can look at it in that Lot was choosing the lesser of two evils. What Lot suggests was sinful, was immoral, was barbaric. For him to have wanted to give these men, his two daughters, for them to do what they want with them, that is unthinkable. Yet when Lot compared the sin of homosexuality, which is unnatural, with what they would do to his two daughters, he chose the lesser of the two evils. He would rather to have allowed his daughters to go through the torture than for these men to relate to his visitors sexually, which was abnormal, unnatural, against nature. Read that verse.
"Look, I have two daughters who have never slept with a man. Let me bring them out to you, and you can do what you like with them. But don't do anything to these men, for they have come under the protection of my roof."
So you see, the texts are shown clearly that hospitality or being inhospitable is not under consideration here, not at all. Remember what the question is, that in these passages, the sin of being inhospitable was the sin under consideration, not homosexual relationship. And that's wrong. So you, when a person confronts you with the fact that it was the sin of inhospitableness, you will take them to the text and let them see that the text is self-explanatory. The text makes plain what sin was under consideration. But then the New Testament further shine light and the passage. Let us hear what Jude said. In Jude, it has one chapter, verse 7. Read that for me again from the NIV, Brother McFarlane.
Jude, verse 7.
Yes.
Jude, verse 7, and it reads, "In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion."
So here you have it. That's the sin under consideration. Gave themselves over to sexual immorality and
perversion.
Perversion. Watch here, watch here. The American Standard Version says gross, not just immorality. G-R-O-S-S, gross immorality. So you see, we are talking about taking sin to another level. You have immorality and you have gross immorality. And read that again, verse 7.
"In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion."
And perversion. As I've said, the American Standard Version qualified the immorality, the gross immorality. So it is made plain both from Old and New Testament that the sin under consideration is not inhospitableness. While that was, because when we take the passage of Judges chapter 19, we will see that the Levite with his wife, let me put that another way. He had problem receiving some hospitable treatment from the citizen until this elder person took him in. So inhospitableness might be suggested in the passage, but that is not the sin for which the Almighty God brought both the tribe of Benjamin and the city of, not only the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, but surrounding city, because Peter, in the passage of 2 Peter chapter 2, I think 6 or 7 through 8, 9, it talks about surrounding cities. And in the passage of Deuteronomy 29:23, it mentioned two of the surrounding cities with Sodom and Gomorrah. So it was not just Sodom and Gomorrah. And archaeologists, in excavating the area, point out that it was, in fact, more than two cities. Okay? Thank you. Okay, we move on now to I announced this morning that we have had, this morning was the sixth lesson on the subject taking sin to another level. Tonight's lesson is, should I say directly or indirectly, relate to that series. Because what I'm doing tonight is spend probably a 30 minutes on the passage of Romans chapter 1. And in this passage, we are dealing with, well, the passage going to give some 4 to 5 reasons God gives up on man. I said this morning that there is no greater hopelessness than when God gives up on man. What we as Christians must keep in mind that you have God's restraining grace working with men and women all the time. God's restraining grace. That is, in the wider society, let us run to the passage of Romans chapter 1, and we are going to have you don't have to read it from that, you can, if you want, any of you brothers can read it, Romans chapter 1, from verse 24 following. We could read probably from verse 18.
For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and ungodliness of men,
mm-hmm,
who hold the truth in unrighteousness,
mm-hmm,
because that which may be known of God is manifest in them.
Wait. This is not talk about Christian, you know. This is talk about the larger Gentile world. Why God reveal things to them? And by reveal, it doesn't mean God's more refined, complete revelation, the Bible. That's not necessary. God reveals certain things about right and wrong in nature and give man a conscience. You see, God reveal it unto them. That passage is not saying God gave them necessary that God gave them the Bible. No. But that sense of right and wrong, God place it. The man who has never read the Bible, the man or woman who has never read the Bible, he has that moral manita in him or her. That's what the passages talk about. That sense of right and wrong. Why God give man that? That is part of God restraining grace. God gave man that moral fuse, safety valve, called the conscience. Most men and women, even the man, the woman who claim they don't believe in God, there are certain things they do and there is an inner guilt. Why? God gave every man that because of his restraining grace. That as men and women go through life, they will have that inner consciousness of right and wrong. And when they do certain things, you know the passage in Romans talk about their conscience accusing or excusing them. All of that is about the restraining grace of God. And hopefully in a few minutes, I'm going to have us briefly look on, hopefully I'll be able to get to it in this lesson. The difference between God giving up on man and God's active effort to condemn man. There is an overlap, but they are different. Okay, now, so there is, from the passage just read, That is Romans chapter 1, verse 19. No, not verse 9 this time, verse 24 through 28. Read again.
Verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Who changing the truth of God into a lie,
mm-hmm.
and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator,
mm-hmm.
who is blessed forever. Amen.
Okay, stop there. There is a fourfold ruin which follows when God gives man up. That's why I've said there is no worse hopelessness than when God restraining grace or mercy is not working in the minds of men. The Christian have God's word that guides him or her. The ungodly man or woman may not recognize the value of God's revealed word. But at the same time, the Almighty God gave him his conscience, a sense of right and wrong that comes because of the restraining mercy of God. Something in every human being to let that person become conscious to a greater or lesser degree of wrong and right. But here now, when any of us so act, so discard, so reject, so trample on, so arrogant against God's guidance and his restraining grace and mercy, then, as I've said, there is at least four ruin that follow that man or woman. You have, there is physical ruin. There is moral ruin. There is intellectual ruin, and there is spiritual ruin. That is when God gives up on man. That's a terrible situation. If we as Christians, we can backslide to the point where, as the book of Hebrews tells us, that we find no way to repent. We have gone that far. But even the ungodly man or woman out there, they can continually act against the grace, the goodness, the love of God. That restraining grace, that conscience, you know the Bible tells about conscience that's seared with an hot iron? Where you reach the point that when 5 years ago you have a conscience that would bother you, you can so trample on what the conscience is doing that the conscience stops speaking to you or me. That conscience it comes by God restraining grace. Now, three times in six verses, from Romans chapter 1, verse 24 through verse 28, we are told that God gave them up three times in six verses. You know, again, we come back to the comment that was made, I think it was last week, Sunday night, where Brother Pierre brought up the point that you'll notice that in the passage of Romans chapter 1, from verse some verse there, 22 sins are listed. And as was brought up in the discussion of the 22 sin, statement is made about their sinfulness. Statement is made. But when the Holy Spirit inspired the inspired writer Paul to deal with homosexuality, just that one subject takes up some 4 verse or more. Just that one subject. And as I said 3 times, from verse 24 to 28, we are told that God gave them up. But notice this. The text does not merely state that God gave them up. The text or the verses usually state, watch here, the sin are the reason for this drastic divine action. You will notice this in 1 or 2 verses. Even as. Even as. And following that even as is usually a statement, in effect saying, even as they reject God's light, God going to take this or that action. Even as they refuse to have God in their knowledge, God going to take action. For God to bless any man or woman, including you and me, that we are enlightened by the light that Jesus Christ brought, for us to trample on that light, for us to treat that light with disrespect and disregard, wait, and to continually doing that, it's not that a person slip up now and again, and no, it's when a person continually reject the light that God brings or brought to him or her, ultimately, it's not only that God withdraw his restraining grace or mercy. He takes up action. There are at least 4 specific sins revealed in the text of Romans chapter 1 verse 24 through 28. I would encourage us that we should not take what is revealed in this text lightly. That is the text of Romans chapter 1. You can read from verse 18, but we are directing our attention tonight to verse 24 through 28. The text is warning to every person, Christian, non-Christian. It does not get worse or more hopeless for any man or woman than when God gives up on any of us. Probably this is an appropriate time to run before I list the 4 or 5 reasons for which God gives man up. But let us bring in the passage of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 through verse 12.
And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth.
May I May I? Here again, you are dealing with attitude towards God's light, the truth. What the brothers just read, verse 10, and what going to follow, 11 and 12, is what result from man or woman treating God's truth as if it is nothing. That pertain every one of us. Don't throw pearl to swine. That's the principle that is coming up. That is when God gives any of us something of value, and not only do we not respond, is that we treat it like nothing. Read verse 10 again.
And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth.
You perish here, you know, don't mean them just get sick or they have a headache. It's talk about men and women who are heading towards hell. It's talk about men and women who are sure to end up in the eternal hell. And notice why, you see, it's an attitude, love of the truth. Amen. We should love God's truth.
Amen.
Even when it torments us, we should love it. Because it is right if it is from God. Because they receive not the love of the truth. We must not incline our love falsehood.
Amen.
Read on.
Because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved.
Mm-hmm.
And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion.
Wait, this is not simply God giving them up. You know, the series of lessons is taking sin to another level. This is God giving up to another level. Truly. For this cause, God shall send them strong deception.
Amen.
This is when a man's attitude towards God's truth, God's light, is so defiant, and so ungrateful, and so non-appreciative, then God does not only withdraw his restraining mercy or grace. It's not only that you're permitted to kill the conscience. It's that God going to take another step now. And an active, well, let me put it in a better way, a negative active step. That's right. It's an active step that is negative towards you. That is strong delusion. And God does that. So it's not, you see, the business of God giving up on man and God sending man strong delusion, they are related. But sending strong delusion is when God takes the ultimate step. As if to say, okay, you did not only reject my truth, you love falsehood. You see, it's one thing to not respond to God's truth. It's one thing to turn from the truth. But then, it's another thing to have a love and an appetite for that which is false because it suits you.
Amen.
When any of us is like that, we have an appetite, religious falsehood, moral falsehood, spiritual falsehood, then it's like God is saying, okay, that's what you want. Let me help you along the way. That is terrible. That's why there is no way that Ahab could escape the debt that he received. That is why there is no way that Balaam could escape his final end. But we don't want to get into that now. Yes. So there are four reasons or sins for which God gives up on any person. And as I promised that I'd take a 20, 30 minutes, I'm just going to go through them because for this reason, there's another part to this lesson that I didn't intend to go into tonight. So I'm going to just go through these and end the lesson because when I take up the other part of this lesson, I may go into these with a little more detail. So the four reasons are sin. Why is this relevant to us, Brother Mitchell? Well, we need to know what are the situations under which the loving, merciful, gracious God will stop working with us for our betterment, our eternal betterment. The four things. One, the first one listed in Romans is sinning against the light. That is Romans 1:21. That is one of the sin for which God gives up on man, sinning against the light. The second sin for which God gives up on man is ingratitude, or put another way, refusing to be thankful to God. We have a lot of that. When men and women enjoy all of God's blessing and grace and mercy in a thousand different ways, and it never dawned on them to be thankful to God, God will give up on man. That is the same verse 21. The third sin for which God gives up on man is vain imagination. I could go in this in a little more detail, where man let his vanity become his God. Things is what motivate and direct him. Things is what give him his sense of value. Vain imagination. Things take the place of God. When man reached the point where he think he is so wise, when all the time he's a fool. Vain imagination. This make God gives up on man. And then, finally, when man worship and serve the creature rather than the creator, that makes God gives up on man. That is verse 25. In dealing with vain imagination, that is verse 21 and 22. In worshiping and serving the creature rather than the creator, that, as I've said, is verse 25 of chapter 1. Notice that this fourth one, worshiping and serving the creature rather than the creator, is a spiritual or religious sin. is where a man or a woman is so committed to materialistic thing, it becomes that person God. But as I've said, there is another, is it a supplement where it will give me a chance to go in a little more detail on these points. For tonight, I end by pointing out that we should not take what is revealed in this passage of Romans chapter 1, 24 through 28. We should not take it lightly, because the passage speaks to every man and woman, Christian and non-Christian. And that it does not get worse or more hopeless for any person than when we have the Almighty God giving up on us. That means even God restraining mercy, even that moral monitor that God placed inside of us called the conscience, when that becomes dead or taken away by God, we have no sense of what is right. You know, the Bible talks about the call wrong right and right wrong. That can happen to any of us. But that will never happen to any of us if we follow the word of God. Love it, reverence it, respect it, look to it for guidance. It never fails anyone. So hopefully we will look on one or two detail when we come back to this.